In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I want this morning to pose the question, which certainly has been in the minds of many, perhaps some of you, as churches are reopened today for public worship. What is a church for when worship can be live-streamed into our homes? We can join by Zoom from the comfort of our armchairs. Why do we need a building like this to worship in? After 700 years, has St. Botolph's now been rendered obsolete by virtual services? Now, it's fair to say that some in the National Church have never had much time for buildings. They're simply a maintenance burden and a costly place for people to meet, especially when most churches have a heritage listing standard to adhere to. There is a growing chorus that buildings and their upkeep are simply a distraction. They get in the way and divert energies away from what ought to be our core activity, which is to preach the gospel, especially to those who do not know the Lord Jesus nor love him. Churches, if they are useful at all, should be as a springboard to mission, and they are not as successful as they should be in that direction. And if we develop the argument, it holds that we don't really need expensive and time-consuming churches, because we could really meet anywhere, because God, quite rightly, can be sought and found everywhere. And if that is true, which it is, then he is in our studies and front rooms, our lounges and our gardens. And he can be reached even from our kitchen tables, as the Archbishop attempted to demonstrate in his service from the kitchen table in Lambeth Palace on Easter Day. We can be in touch with God and each other by Zoom, or by all the forms of live stream worship which have grown up, some very inventively, during the lockdown period. A recently released video by the Bishop of Oxford has welcomed these new virtual ways of being church. We are told that they are what is currently the holy grail of what churches should be, a fresh expression, a delight to bishops and those in authority, out with inherited church and in with pioneering worship. Church buildings have been closed these past 3.5 months, but the online church has been very much open. After all, it is reckoned that some 5 million people have been tuning into at least one online service each Sunday, as compared to only 750,000 people that usually physically attend a church every Sunday. In 3.5 months of lockdown, it would appear that the church has achieved a transformation in the furtherance of its mission, which might otherwise have taken 10 years to occur. The future's bright, the future's virtual is the message. So this morning I want to put the case to you for why this physical church of St. Botolph matters, why what we do here matters and can't be replicated properly online, and why it matters that we have all come here, and hopefully people will continue to come here for the next 700 years. And this is all because place matters. And being together as the body of Christ matters, even though that is being contested in a digital age. Let me say immediately that church buildings are not idols. They are enablers to an end, not an end in themselves. We aren't the ecclesiastical branch of the National Trust, as the Bishop of Ely is fond of saying. Churches as places are a sign of hope, They are a sign of the incarnation. Christ came to live physically with us on earth. He did not remain in the ether, waiting for a connection. Only figuratively is he in the cloud. Churches as physical buildings are a sign that God in Jesus Christ is present in a particular community, and that we have souls which Christ came to earth to redeem. When we go inside a church, we enter a sacred space, consecrated, made holy, for the glory of God. Churches are where we can glimpse the transcendent, as many a visitor has commented of St. Botolph's. They bear witness to a different reality, to the lives of most people, and take people into a different dimension. A church is a place of encounter, a place of prayer, a place of hope, a place of openness and beauty, a place of sanctuary, a place of refuge from the distractions of the world, and when in use for worship, is the place of the theatre of a living community. Buildings such as this are hallowed by worship and liturgy. They are cherished and adorned by succeeding generations. They are a place where life's events have been marked over generations. Just look at the inscriptions on the walls in the chancel and sanctuary and in the garden, and the registers of baptisms and marriages over the centuries. Look too on the names of those whose bodies or ashes are buried or interred in the garden. The church is a repository of prayers, joys and tears. Churches tell a story. They tell a story of life's events affecting people. But isn't it strange, therefore, that the church nationally seems to have written itself out of the current chapter of the story by closing our churches for the past 3.5 months? We grow spiritually when we commit to faithful attendance. Attendance is a spiritual discipline. It is vital and necessary act towards greater spiritual maturity. It is much harder to achieve than at home, which is more likely that we become part of a passive audience rather than an active participant in worship. And when we gather together, we encourage one another, whether it is joining into the act of worship or sharing in some refreshments afterwards, although sadly not today. We build up our spiritual and common life together as the body of Christ in this place, and it is important that we do so in friendship with one another. Scripture emphasizes the importance of the local church. After the Gospels, the backdrop for much of the rest of the New Testament is about different local congregations meeting and worshipping together. The writer of the Epistle to the Hebrews begs us not to neglect our meeting together. From the very earliest times, people have met together for the Eucharist, the Holy Communion, to break bread and share the cup of wine, just as Jesus has commanded us to do. And we cannot simply do this on our own. Though we have participated in a spiritual communion for some weeks now, most would agree that it's not been quite the same. No virtual retransmission can ever replace the sacramental presence. The physicality is missing from the virtual connections. And as I've said, to be a Christian by virtue of the incarnation is to be concerned with the physicality of space and the world around us. It is not just a cerebral endeavour. When we come together for the Holy Communion, we offer back to God the physicality of creation in our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, as the prayer of oblation puts it. We ask for God's blessing on his creation and for our proper use of it. We are a pilgrim people. Our lives are spent journeying towards the heavenly kingdom, and we are constantly trying to build God's kingdom on earth. So if our time on earth is to prepare us for the kingdom of heaven, then we should seek to take on the mantra of that where we long to be. We do not look to participate in heaven on our own. We are part of the whole company of heaven. Just look at the heavenly host depicted above our east window. That is where we hope to be, in the midst of them, not sitting on our own on the sidelines. Being Christian is being part of a corporate activity with others, not on our own. Coming together in this place builds commitment and community in a way that no atomized online presence sitting in our own homes can. While it may be more convenient to sit at home, we may avoid the hassle of getting into town or finding a parking space. We may be able to sit in our PJs rather than needing to get dressed. We may be able to flick through screens so that we can carry on doing emails during lengthy sermons, or just dip into and out of services, however our fancy takes us. But this is not church as we should know it. We need a sacred place to practice our religion. We need the community around us. We need the teaching and the sacraments of the church and the consolations of religion to feed and sustain us. My friends, we need this Church of St. Botolph, as you evidently believe this morning. May that be true for the next 700 years, as it has been for the past 700 years. I want to close by quoting part of a sermon preached by the Bishop of Ebbsfleet recently. We need to ask ourselves what we need to convey to others. We need to worship. To give Christ in charity, we need to offer ourselves in prayer, to receive Christ in his word and sacrament. We need to thirst for the Eucharist, for the Word, the Spirit, for God's holy gifts for God's holy people. Armchairs and kitchen tables are not good enough. Solitary Christianity is barely Christianity. Worship is the basis of all we have to give to the world, and our gathering to do so is the source of our mission and its point of return. It can only be a feature of the daily lives we live apart, if it springs from what we do when we come together in Christ, in the Church. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.